again, and welcome to Book Echoes, a podcast for writers. Write your way to success. I'm your host, author, editor, and book coach, Connie B. Dowell. And I have got some great announcements for you today, as well as another beginner's mind focused episode. This time focusing maybe a little bit more on if you are further along, reviving that beginner's mindset. And I've got my kitty with me here today. One of our cats, Bilbo, who is circling me as I record. So if you hear any errant noises, it's probably a cat, maybe bumping the table or bumping against the mic. But he's just not going to leave me alone. And this is the time I have to record. So here we are. So in terms of exciting announcements, a couple of fun things are coming up. If you haven't heard, Jill and Mallory Cooper, who I've been following for some time. I've heard Mallory Cooper speak at 20 Books to 50K, and they really know their stuff about writing and self-publishing, and they are going to be hosting a great online class, a master class about book launches. And that's going to happen on the 24th of July, I believe at 2 o'clock. There is going to be a recording, so if you can still register even if you can't make it, at 2 p.m. Eastern. That's right, 2 p.m. Eastern on July 24th with Mal and Jill Cooper. And so I don't often recommend other people's stuff because, you know, I want to make sure it's something and someone that I have vetted, but I trust these folks. I trust these ladies to do a good job. I know that they really know their stuff. So if that is something that interests you, head on over to thewritingwives.com/master-launch-class, and I will have that link in the show notes as well. And if you like, you can enter Book Echoes as your referral code, and I do get a small affiliate commission from that, no extra cost to you. So that is something fun and exciting coming up shortly. The other fun and exciting thing that is coming up shortly is that I don't have the link right now, so the link will be in the show notes, but my first mini course will be live as this episode goes out. So my first mini course, and this will be a free mini course, just to give you a little taste of what these mini courses are going to be like. It's like a 45-minute course broken into 3 different videos with some exercises and activities, and it is on the topic of finding your writing time. If you are struggling to find your writing time to break out a big project or multiple complicated projects at different stages of development into something you can actually put on your calendar and know when it's supposed to be done and like have some due dates to check in with yourself, then that is what this mini course is all about. So do head on over to the show notes and check that out. All right, so now let's move on to the main topic of today's episode. I did mention this is a beginner's mindset episode, but it's kind of aimed at identifying the gaps that you have in your knowledge as a writer, as a promoter of your books, or even as a self-publisher, if that applies to you. So part of having a beginner's mind is knowing that you don't know everything, but as we learn more about writing and publishing, about anything, then we tend to feel like we know it all and maybe ignore or overlook some of the gaps in our knowledge. So how do you identify the gaps that you have so that you can put on your beginner's mind hat and start filling them and start learning? Well, sometimes when you're just think about it abstractly, I know for me, going, okay, what gaps do I have in my knowledge? I might think of a few things, but I might also just not really think of anything because you're not thinking about it. So it helps to kind of run down. And this is not an exhaustive list of all the pieces of knowledge that a writer might need to have in their head, but it is kind of some basics, some fundamentals of writing and promoting awesome books. And as I run through this list, hopefully that will trigger some things that you're thinking of. So if you're driving, obviously don't do this, but if you are sitting down, if you're in a position to do so, you know, maybe take out a pen and a paper. You know, you might pause this episode, grab your pen and paper, come back to it if you're driving, come back to it later and make some notes. And then think and see if any of this helps you think of some things that have been on the back burner to-do list. Things that you know you should be learning or doing, but don't think about actively. Hearing it all spelled out sometimes can help you trigger, oh yeah, I did need to cover that. Oh yeah, I did need to learn something about character development. Or, oh yeah, I did need to learn something about audiobooks. I meant to do that. I thought about it, but then I did never put it on my calendar. So here's your chance to think about these things and write them down. So let's start with craft. So there's loads to learn about craft. We could talk about that all day. But you might be asking yourself, do I need to learn something for fiction writers in the areas of characters? Is there something you need to learn about creating more interesting characters, getting to know your characters, developing them over the course of the story, developing side characters versus developing a main character or an antagonist? So see if there's something that you maybe need to learn about characters. You might also be thinking about what you might need to shore up in your plot structure. If you're getting feedback that your pacing is off or something isn't right with plotting, maybe doing some study about plotting would be a way to shore up those skills. Dialogue. This is also a huge part of writing fiction, but it can be tricky for some authors because dialogue doesn't totally mimic natural speech, but at the same time shouldn't be so stilted that it doesn't feel natural. So if dialogue is something that you're getting feedback on or something that you're thinking you'd like to learn more about, then maybe write that down. Descriptions. Descriptions in fiction really bring the world alive. And this is actually true of some nonfiction as well, like memoir. Really, really great journalistic fiction has a lot of description. So description can apply to not just fiction, but nonfiction. And it's an important part of bringing a world to life for a reader. Then prose style and grammar. So there are many excellent storytellers who have complicated plots and fascinating characters in their head, but not everyone who is an excellent storyteller has a command of formal grammar and style. And so if that's something that you're struggling with, if you're getting feedback on that from your writers groups, if you're an indie author getting feedback on that from your editors or even from reviews, then maybe it's time to sit down and do a little bit of formal learning. There are lots of books that you can read about studying formal grammar and style. Now, I'm saying formal grammar, not correct grammar, because there are many different types of grammar, and this is really only applying to prose, not to dialogue. And even with formal grammar, like they say learn the rules so that you can break them, but you do need to learn the rules. It's pretty obvious when someone hasn't learned the rules and that's how they're breaking them, versus when a writer knows the rules and breaks them intentionally. Then finally, voice. And voice takes some time to develop as a writer. But if you are a newer writer, this might be a point where it's an important gap for you to fill. And that is going to take some experimentation and some writing and a lot of different genres, a lot of different pieces. Try a lot of stuff to find your voice and do some reading about voice as well. Now, some gaps may be specific to nonfiction. It would be organization of information or providing a full explanation. If you're getting feedback from readers, from beta readers, from groups, from editors, that you're not fully explaining yourself, then try to analyze that feedback. Try to read books like the types of nonfiction that you write, or read articles like the type of nonfiction that you write, and see what they're doing to shore up that piece of knowledge. Then research. And many types of books require a lot of research. It's not just nonfiction or historical fiction. But know what you maybe need to learn for your next book. Readers are really savvy. And they will know if you have your characters riding horses, for example, and you're not doing all of those activities correctly. I am not going to give a specific example to horses because I actually know zero about it. I would be really bad. I'd be making it all up from the movie, everything I've seen in the movies. And that is a mistake if you're writing a kind of story that really has a lot of detail, because the movies don't always get it right. So that's a place to shore up your knowledge if you're writing about things that require some research. Then finally, getting feedback and revision just in general. If you've been writing a lot in a vacuum and not getting lots of feedback until your stage is in the process, then you could probably learn something from getting more feedback from a critique group or beta readers early on that you can incorporate into your revision process. And again, see what you're missing. Even if you've been doing this for a really long time, there's always blind spots that we all have. All right, so let's look at the areas of productivity or work-life balance. So setting appropriate deadlines is a big one. And that is one of the things I'm covering in my free mini course. Again, check the show notes for that. If you're consistently missing your deadlines, things do happen, life does get in the way. And if you're like me and you really need to be on top of things with deadlines, with portioning out your work, it is going to be a lifelong struggle. There's a reason I get so granular with this, and it's because I need to. And even then, I still mess up sometimes, so I need to go back to those basics. But if you are struggling with having appropriate deadlines and making those deadlines work, then that's a place where you need to think about how you work and reevaluate the amount of time that you're giving yourself. Then making the most of your writing time. You might have lots of writing time set aside, but are you getting enough done? Now, this can become a race to dramatic, unsustainable productivity. Like, you're not going to be able to suddenly go from 1,000-word writing session at a time to 2,000 words the next day. It's just not going to happen. And you may never be a 2,000 word a day writer. And that is honestly fine. Everyone has their own pace. So I'm not trying to push you to like dramatically exceed your natural pace. But, you know, there are things you can do to eliminate distractions, to work more intentionally, to do things like the Pomodoro method, where you time yourself. And you're just writing during that time and doing nothing else. So there are ways to make that time more efficient and thereby get more words, be productive, happier, and you're not spending that time on settling in, on, you know, distractions, Twitter, whatever. And you'll probably be a happier writer for doing so as well. Then not forgetting other work is a big part of the productivity and work-life balance. It is really easy for authors to get wrapped up in the writing work, and especially in the drafting portion, and forget other pieces of being a writer. Other pieces include promoting your books, all of the little admin tasks that add up over time. It can include pitching your books, querying editors, agents, etc. If you are doing a traditional publishing path. If you are self-publishing, it includes a whole lot of publishing and project management tasks, as well as spearheading the marketing campaign, though marketing also somewhat goes to traditional published authors as well. So there's all of these other tasks that you still need to account for when you are budgeting out your time, especially if you're doing this on top of another full-time job, on top of caring for children or aging parents or other community responsibilities, etc. So don't forget the other work and only budget time for writing, because that other work still has to get done. Obviously, writing is the most important thing. The books are the most important thing, but if you don't promote them, if you don't, you know, query those agents, if you don't publish those books, nobody's going to read them. All right, so then work-life balance. Don't schedule yourself to the point that you have no hobbies. And it is really easy to fall into this trap. It is really easy to kind of, because the world kind of, especially I think for women, the world will treat women in creative professions as though that creative profession is their self-care. And it is not. Your writing is not your self-care. Your writing is not your hobby, unless you want it to be. And then you probably don't need to do such a detailed analysis as they were doing here today. But most folks who are listening to this so far, you know, some of them might be doing this for a hobby, and that's cool, or for a second career after you've retired. But if it's not your hobby, then don't make it be your hobby. Don't make it be your only thing that you're doing outside of work and family or community responsibilities. You have to have something to do that's just for you, that the world doesn't have to see. And that could be playing an instrument, it could be cooking, it could be gardening, it could be whatever it is that lights you up, because there's probably something that you love to do besides writing. So as much fun as writing is, I think about it a whole lot, but I also have other pieces of my life. And so I don't think I need to tell you guys, you know, make time for your family, work-life balance in that way, but it can be really easy to just stuff every minute you have to yourself that's not part of family and not part of other work into writing. And that is a recipe for burnout. Then finally, health. Are you taking care of your own physical and mental self? So again, that kind of piggybacks, and don't stuff this into every piece. Don't neglect pieces of your health for writing. So let's move on to publishing tasks. So there's lots and lots of publishing tasks, and running through this very broad list maybe will help you trigger some of the things that you've been meaning to learn about, to do better at, and ways you can shore up your knowledge in that area. So for traditional publishing path, there's a lot of little pieces to learn. Querying, how you query agents going to editors, submissions, etc. There's lots of little pieces for an author to learn that process, to learn how to research what's a good agent and what's a bad agent, and which publishers will accept on agents and submissions and which will not, and requirements like writing query letters, synopses, Twitter pitches, etc. So if any of those are things that maybe were on your to-do list, that is something to shore up and take with a beginner's mindset. And so the self-publishing path also has lots of little pieces to learn, like how to find an editor and the different levels of editing, cover design, finding a cover designer, formatting, understanding the different retailers and distributors, and the formats of a book, things like ebooks, paperbacks, hardbacks, and audio. And then for everybody, trying to avoid vanity presses or scams. And I recommend checking out, and I will link to, again, in the show notes, Writer Beware, the website Writer Beware, to identify some of those known kind of scams and maybe predatory vanity presses. A vanity press is something that you're paying to publish, and it's different than paying for services in the way that self-publishers have to. They have to pay for freelance editors, they have to pay for cover designers, etc. But vanity presses kind of pretend like they're traditional publishing, but then you pay them. And that is not how publishing normally works. You are supposed to get paid, not pay other people. So if you're a self-publisher, you're paying services, but you are the publisher. And so the publisher pay you the publisher, or pay you as the writer. So yeah, money should always flow from publisher to writer. Now, there are like some package services and some things that call themselves hybrid publishing, but I really, really recommend treading very carefully there. I would advise people to either self-publish a book or traditionally publish a book. So next, let's look at marketing. So newsletters are the big backbone of marketing, and actually the topic of an upcoming low-cost mini course that I'm going to have linked to on my website in the next couple of weeks. I know it's the next couple of weeks because I've already recorded it. I just haven't put it all together. So, newsletters are a big backbone of your marketing, whether you are traditionally published or indie published, or you have some books in either camp. So I recommend everyone learn how to set up a newsletter and how to do it well. Then, social media channels. Is there something you need to learn about one particular piece of social media that's maybe been on your list? Or maybe you are working on how to do social media well without too much time wasting or spreading yourself too thin. Because social media can be really fun, but it can also spend a lot of time without too much result if you don't use it very carefully. Advertising. And this is primarily used by indie authors, but traditional published authors can use advertising as well. So there are a lot of advertising options for authors. Facebook ads, Amazon advertising, BookBub ads. Those are the three kind of big ones. And learning each of those platforms, learning how to do it well, and to get the hang of it. You will have to spend a little bit of money to do this, but to get the hang of it without spending all your money, it is definitely an area to research, shore up. So this may be some of those things that I knew might be on indie authors, and in particular indie authors' radar, because we have to spend all the money on our advertising. We don't have a publisher doing any of that. So if this is maybe popping up for you, then that's something to shore up your knowledge on. Finally, coordinating and networking with other writers is a big part of marketing. And it's also a part of marketing that it's really easy for authors to forget about, to kind of put off. Because, and the pandemic has made this a little bit worse, we're no longer, some conferences are starting to open back up, but until this year, really, conferences were all online, and the networking wasn't quite the same, and writers as a whole tend to be rather solitary. But I promise you, working, coordinating and networking with other writers is really helpful, not just for marketing your books, but for learning new things, for learning the gaps in your knowledge so that you can fill them. So if that's something that's kind of been on your back burner to-do list, then I encourage you to start filling that gap. Start looking for groups you can join. You can join groups for your genre on Facebook. You can join local writers' organizations. Look for conferences. And now that they are online, the networking isn't as great, but it's certainly better than nothing. So look for ways that you can connect. All right, and then publicity. That's the last big group that we're going to cover today. So publicity would mean, you know, getting featured on podcasts, magazines, blogs, newspapers, TV, and radio. Anything where it's on. The difference between publicity and advertising is that the publicity, other people control the message, and typically it's not something that you pay for. Especially for podcasts, anybody who's charging you to be on their podcast, I would look at very skeptically. It costs you your time in terms of researching these avenues, you know, writing them, kind of a pitch letter and proposing yourself to be on their show, or to write a guest blog post or something like that. So, you know, it does take your time to research and to pitch and to do it well. You know, you don't want to send out a blanket statement to everybody. It is really obvious. As someone who has a podcast, it is really obvious when that happens. But it is much better to tailor it individually. And so you don't have to do this too often, because it is pretty time consuming. It's time consuming to pitch these various avenues, and it's time consuming to, like, actually do the interview, to promote it, etc. But it does help to kind of build this into your schedule periodically. And so I know that if you've been listening this far, there's probably some of you, if you are already published, there's probably some of you who are thinking, oh yeah, I did mean to pitch those podcasts this year and I haven't gotten around to it. Oh yeah, I guess it's been a while since my last guest blog post. Well, if you're thinking, oh yeah, then pop it on the calendar. You know, it doesn't have to be right away. Just pop it on the calendar for next month or the month after. Make sure that it is on there at some point. Doing this periodically, for one thing, it is like advertising that you don't have to pay for. And it really builds your credibility. So doing this periodically can be a big visibility boost. So finally, we've gone through all of these. I've gone through my exhaustive list of kind of the general areas, and there's still, like, so many more granular pieces that you could learn. So there's always the lovely thing about writing and publishing is, if you like it, there is always something new to learn. But if you're going through all this and you're still just not really sure where your biggest gap is, then ask somebody. Ask your critique group or a trusted author friend where they think that you might go next to learn more, where you need to shore up your knowledge. And if you don't have a critique group or a trusted author friend, then that is probably a place to shore up your knowledge, to do that connecting with other writers' work. And if you want to know more and this is still not enough of a step for you, then ask an expert, like a writing coach. And that is part of what I do in my author success coaching. So I help folks identify where their gaps are. And we dive really deep in a 1-hour session with notes and recording afterwards and find those weak spots, and not just find them, but make an actionable plan to fill them. So if that's something that would be helpful to you, go to calendly.com/Connie-36, and that's 36 with the numbers, to book a spot. I still have a few more spots in July before I go on vacation. And then I have more spots in August as well. And again, so lots of great stuff. I'll have that link in the show notes as well, as well as the links to the Writing Wives class and to my new free mini course. But that is all for this time, and probably quite enough for this time. I think this is about a 30-minute episode so far. So if you'd like to chat more about ways to identify those gaps, if there's something that really resonated with you that you'd like to continue the discussion, I'd love to hear from you. Just go to the show notes, bookechoes.com/show, and leave a comment on this episode. You can also drop me a line, connie@bookechoes.com. And as always, I appreciate ratings and reviews on this podcast. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible Podcasts, Google, or wherever it is you are listening to this show. Until next week, happy writing!